When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Listen, Braves have a tough task in front of them, and we are going to discuss it coming up a little bit later on this hour. But, Mike, the news to know is who's starting for the Braves since it's not Chris Sale.
Yeah, it's going to be A.J. Smith-Shawver, who hasn't pitched since, like, May against the Cubs. So it's been a while. It's just the way the cookie has crumbled with this rotation. Michael King's going for the Padres, who are obviously a very prohibitive favorite. Matter of fact, 27 baseball writers were polled, and 27 say San Diego is going to win the series, 2 out of 3. But A.J. Smith-Shawver, I mean, look, I guess you come in as loosey-goosey as you can be. More pressure on San Diego, one could imagine.
There is. It's all on them. Everybody thinks they're the better team. They've been the better team in the second half of the season. We'll give you some reasons why we should have hope that we can handle business. Listen, still game one, anything happens. This is a best of three, guys, best of three. More on that coming up. Let's talk about our Falcons, Mike. As always, this hour is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. And it's where Wing Tuesday is. Buy one, get one half off traditional wings at Buffalo Wild Wings. We spent a lot of time today talking about, obviously, Kirk Cousins and, you know, getting more guys involved. That just doesn't fall on Kirk. And when we say getting more guys involved, specifically we're talking about Kyle Pitts. I want you to hear Raheem Morris talk about what he wants to fix going into this Tampa game. Guys, it's Thursday. You'll hear right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and Mike mentioned we'll be at the Signia right there by Hilton 2-4 getting things started. Let me hear Ra.
Really, you want to tighten up the screws on both sides of the ball when it comes to running the football, right? When it comes to stopping the run. You know, we came out in that second half on defense and really tightened up a little bit, but you want to continue to grow on that when you're talking about defense and how you want to fit the run, how you want to play the run, how you want to knock it out to make teams one-dimensional. And the same thing goes for our offense. We got it going a little bit later. Tyler gave us a big boost. We got a little bit of things from Bijan, but we want to really establish that early and often, and that will help some of our time of possession things. That'll help some of the things we got better at. You know, we're able to attack third down as we can get a little bit better, like to tighten that up even more. Third downs, being able to run the football, being able to stop the run, all of those things really become about us. And
now we were talking, he just mentioned Tyler Allgeier and the job he did. He really did get things cooking. He was the human bowling ball. We've seen that a few years ago. In the injury report that came out yesterday, because they're doing earlier practices,
okay.
Mark Raimondi, our buddy from ESPN, Bijan was listed with a hamstring with limited participation. Ray limited with an ankle. Caleb limited with a knee. And Troy Anderson didn't participate with a knee. We went and signed Rashawn Evans to the practice squad. So I know guys want to see more balance with Bijan. I just think Bijan got dinged in that game, and that's why they went to Tyler Allgeier.
I do too. And by the way, Allgeier has shown he can tote the rock, guys. He can carry the load if necessary. If we get in this game on Thursday night and Mike, he has a majority of the carries, that's probably going to be the reason why, but they're not going to say that because they're not going to, you know, tip their cap to or tip their hand, should I say, to the Bucks to let them know that Bijan may not be a completely 100%. Meanwhile, let's talk about Kirk Cousins, because he said on the final drive he wasn't good enough. We're talking about the New Orleans win, right? And it was great to see Koo kick a 58-yarder and win it. You know, walk off, time runs out. But Cousins was talking about what he needs to do to be better.
You know, honestly, felt like the final drive was really not good enough by me, by our offense. But You know, Koo made an unbelievable kick. We got the pass interference call, and that was enough. But, you know, pleased with the complimentary football that happened today to get us the win, and now we can have a great chance to build on it.
Okay, so he was not good enough on that last drive. Mike, we talked a little bit about this. What were we trying to get on that last drive? Now, we ultimately got a great catch, or should I say a pass interference that sets up the field goal. But did you feel like all we needed was 10 yards? I felt like we could have achieved that with, you know, lesser routes. You didn't have to. I felt like we were all running go routes.
Well, we saw, you know, Kirk Cousins do the job against the Eagles. And, you know, we always talk about, at least coaches talk about, how in that 2-minute drill, things are kind of opened up. You get back to more of your base offense and things is more, I mean, just easier and maybe less complicated. Didn't look that way, did it, to your point? Like, they're really stretching it. Now, for those who don't remember, guys, first and 10 on the 30 after touchback with 1 minute to go.
That's right.
And so, you know, it was a short pass to Ray. You know, we had that penalty on New Zealand, false start. You may have to overcome a false start on that one, second and 10.
I know, it hurt us.
So some of this was, again, getting back to what you always talk about, being behind schedule. So it's just one of those that the Mooney penalty was huge. And that's why pass interference is big. Pass interference can be part of your offense. If you get a guy who can't handle your ability, in this case Mooney's speed, Carl, you got the penalty. It changed everything.
It did. And by the way, if you're wondering about the O-line and all this stuff, listen to Kirk Cousins talk about the protection, because this was the other part of it, Mike. Like, are we protecting him? Does he have enough time to deliver the ball where he needs to? This was Cousins.
Yeah, I think so. I didn't see how many attempts we had today, but usually, you know, whenever I felt anything, it was because I was going through a progression longer. So I thought they did a good job, and there was a lot of times where it was kind of one-on-ones across the board where they're rushing five. So I was really pleased, and even the sack fumble today was really me holding on to the ball too long. Jake did a really good job. So, yeah, I've been very pleased with him.
Yeah,
Does that mean the guys aren't getting separation if he's holding it, waiting for them to come out?
Listen, this is what I'm seeing, and I may be wrong on this, but I doubt it. Kirk is looking at these reads, right, middle, left, or left, middle, right. And, Mike, by the time he decides where he wants to go or whatever is open, that's when the pressure's on him. And so, you know, that's when the stuff is caving in on him, right, where you got fingers and, you know, all kind of stuff around your ankles working. I mean, that's where he's got to deliver the football. Falcons report today, sponsored by the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We're talking about our Falcons as we get ready. Quick turnaround. We'll talk more about the Bucs coming up in the 6 o'clock hour with our buddy Rick Stroud and find out why they are having success and what's going on there. Because, again, we said this to start the season, guys. They won this division last few years. We couldn't disrespect them and say, hey, they're not going to come back and be good. It's just hard to win any division 3-4 years in a row, but give them credit. But we got to handle business. If we handle business on Thursday night, Mike, now you're talking about beating the Saints and the Bucks, having two division wins under your belt.
Right.
We get above 500, and now you're saying, okay, wait a minute. We'll be in the mix for this thing later in the season when we see these guys again.
The Bucs, and we're going to talk to Rick Stroud in the 6 o'clock hour as we go behind enemy lines. And again, no Devontae Smith and no A.J. Brown. And so, you know, they did have their tight end. They did use their running back. But again, their backup receivers were nothing, obviously, like those guys. And you know, this gets back to create those mismatches, the speed. Well, if we do this, Carl, Bijan, they got to account for Bijan. Pitts will be in this. It hasn't happened like
no,
that.
No, it hasn't.
It's been very perfunctory on offense, if we're honest. And it's usually him kind of trying to squeeze it into Ray or Darnell. And look, Drake has had better success than he had with the two bums thrown to him the last few years. I still disagree with Wes when Wes said he thinks you cannot put this on Cousins. He says, look, Cousins is good to go now, and that conversation's over. Still not sold that Cousins is 100% to being what he was pre-Achilles last October. Yet.
So the offense isn't humming, right? It's performing, but it's not humming. And how do you get to that, Mike? How do you get where it's just humming, where we're moving the ball? Guys, you're not going to score on every possession. I get that.
First down, 5 yards. Get on schedule. How do Mahomes? Everybody else who's having success is not dealing with second and eight or third and 11 like we are.
That's exactly right. And then when you get in the red zone, we got to score touchdowns. Here's another big part of this as we talk about the Falcons and how we improve, continue to get better, not only before Thursday, but also as we continue to move through this season. We, at some point, whether it's Thursday or the next game or beyond, has to be the team, Mike, that runs the most plays. Against the Steelers, guys, they run.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Ran 66, we ran 50. That's 16 more plays in a game that you have a chance to do something with the football. It matters. In the Eagles game, they ran 68 plays. We ran 58. That's right. 10 more plays. And you know how the game ended. We won the game, but we weren't a time of possession. They owned it and the amount of plays they ran on the offense. Get to the Chiefs. Oh, well, okay. They ran 72 plays. We ran 56. This is a fundamental problem. At some point, you've got to be running more plays than the opponent to give yourself an opportunity to have more chances. Yesterday, or should I say Sunday, no different. Saints ran 70 plays, we ran 51. Mike, we haven't outdone our opponents in that area to say we're giving our team a chance, our offense a chance to run more plays today, to have more scoring opportunities, etc. That has been part of the issue.
And that gets us back to that whole conversation about usage rate, because I know you guys, I want to see this guy get the ball. I want to see that guy.
That's right.
You got 15 to 20 less plays, then there goes that chance of that part of the playbook just went out the window.
Gone.
Okay, because you're not going to be able to do that. And then you throw on top of it, the cherry on top, again, we don't apologize for a win. We've said that before. 9 penalties for 76 yards. Terrible.
Hurt us.
Terrible.
Yeah.
You can't win that. You can't do that. We know that, so let's clean it up. Clean it up. But one thing for certain, Pitts has got, like, this is not sports talk radio. You guys are, you're over the top. Pitts has got to be a factor. There's no way to have a conversation about our offense that doesn't involve Kyle Pitts' lack of production.
Too big, too fast, too strong, too. Where is all of that? And I get it. Some guys are telling us, you know, Dukes and Bell, man, I don't think he's running the right routes. Okay, well, fix it. To Mike's point.
Right.
If you feel like those routes are enabling him to be as effective as he needs to be, then you fix it. Like, to me, this is not brain surgery, guys. If you, and I get back to the fundamental thing. The fundamental thing. Get the ball to 23. Y'all know who 23 is, right?
Right.
That's Jordan. Get the ball to 23. Get the ball to 8. It doesn't matter what sport you're talking about. You find ways to get the ball to your better players. Now, if in fact Mike's right and we find out later in the year that maybe he's not one of our better players, then that's a different conversation. But for everything that we know right now and everything we were told at camp, Mike, and everything we were told in the offseason about building him up and making him better and making him a big part of this offense, it's just not been there.
Right. And it's just something we thought, guys, because Darnell Mooney is not the biggest guy, but we've seen the speed. Ray Ray's been solid. But, you know, and Drake, look, Drake is not a burner. We get that. Drake, I mean, there's 50-50 balls, but he can't stop in midair like the Matrix and bend over backwards if Cousins can't get the ball accurately. We always thought that Kyle Pitts would be the bailout guy. We want to see Kyle Pitts have that same relationship that Mahomes has. Now, again, no one will ever be as good as Kelce Mahomes. I get that. But what Kittle does for Purdy.
Yeah.
What all these elite tight ends are doing.
Laporta.
Right. And he started getting up to a slow start because he was banged up. Guys, Pitts doesn't show up anywhere as far as anywhere close to being an elite tight end.
All right. Thursday, Mike. Thursday.
Right. And I hope we're talking about the big coming out party. And Zach and him figured it out.
Coming up, some numbers that you'll care about and a reason why you should believe that the Braves can do this. Next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Let's talk playoffs, shall we? Braves and Padres. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I just told Mike, if we win this series, we get the Dodgers.
Hello, Dodgers.
If the Mets win, they get the Phillies. And this is why yesterday in that second game, the Mets were like, we're good. We're all right. We'll go take our chances with the Brewers. The Padres guys have been the best team since the break. And we're talking about the All-Star break. 43-20. Mike, the last time these two teams played in the playoffs is 1998. Do you remember?
Yes, I remember Bobby Cox rolling up one of the stupidest lineups I've ever seen in a game six after they battled back on the West Coast, got locked into that platoon thing, and that Andy Ashby and those Padres went on to get swept by the Yankees series. In 98.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They led the Braves 3-0 in that series. Braves did make it a series, but that's the last time. Let's talk about positives, because I said today, I think we need a little magic. Don't know where that's going to come from. Maybe it's A.J. Smith-Sharver. Maybe it's somebody in this lineup that has a couple of hits tonight. Mike, we don't expect. You need a little bit of that. But Ozuna, guys, continues to be good, and especially against the Padres in 28 career games, Mike. 840 OPS, that's on base and slugging. He's got 7 home runs. We need him tonight. We need Olsen. You just asked me about Olsen, by the way. And you said, well, can Olsen do something? Since July 31st, he's ranked 5th in the league among Major League Baseball players with a 966 OPS. Again, slugging it on base. So he's been really good here since July 31st. Now in the big moment tonight, you need him to show up. And Ozzy, 4-for-31 going into Monday. Guys, did you see what he did in the doubleheader?
Right.
3-for-7 with a double, the home run. Can these guys carry us along with Harris?
Right-handed Ozzy is good Ozzy right now. Still coming off that wrist injury. But, yeah, man, you just you know the limitations. Urshela, if you can come up with a clutch hit. Laureano has shown the ability to give you some surprise pop from here and there. But, you need some help. And one thing for certain, it just takes some wind out of your sails knowing that you've got to cobble together this pitching rotation with a guy who hasn't thrown since May in the show in A.J. Smith-Shawver. He does have a 95, sometimes plus fastball. He's got 4 different pitches he uses, Carl. But you're just hoping that maybe San Diego has a little more heat on them. And they maybe feel a little more pressure. You know their lineup. It's loaded with guys like Tatis and Machado. You know the guys. They got 4 guys hit 20 home runs or more. It's just, it's a big ask, but it's not impossible. Because if anything, no one saw the Diamondbacks, right, putting together the run they did last year.
No, not at all. Mike, and I think their leadoff guy, their DH, Luis Arraez, is part of the story this year. I mean, he ends the season. He's hitting .314. He's the NL batting champ. Let's not forget about him. You talk about setting the table. This dude does that day in and day out. So, only good news, and I say only, is, okay, where is this team's deficiency? They don't hit lefties really well. That means Dylan Lee and maybe Aaron Bummer, Mike, might have a big role coming out of the bullpen tonight. We'll see, but our bullpen's a little taxed, isn't it?
I'll say it again. You know, part of the reason why you had so much dramatics and just all that drama was not having Minter. You know, you miss Minter in a situation, you miss Minter in a series like this, speaking of having some left-handed heat coming out of the pen. But, yeah, man, usual suspects. Jorge Soler is going to bat 5th tonight. Ramon Laureano, little D behind the dish. We mentioned Urshela, Orlando Arcia. I mean, guys, it's two ways of looking at it.
Why'd you say Arcia like that?
You know me and RC. It's a love-hate relationship with RC.
You don't think RC is going to do anything tonight? He might provide the magic.
Hey, you know what? That'd be good. That'd be something we should
shooting for. Well, the way you said that, you were like, RC.
I mean, how do you feel about it? No,
you see, when Oren starts doing this stuff, this is where I get in trouble. Okay, now we batted 176 for September. Yeah, that's why I made the face for RC.
Okay. Defense, though. You need defense, Mike.
0 for 5 yesterday.
You need defense.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, I'd move on. I'd try to upgrade the position next year, but that's me. But that's we're not in it next year yet. It's still this year. But we do know that Chris Sale, and we'll ask Grant, maybe we can get some more clarification on this. Just when the hell did this thing go haywire with his back? And how long they've been sitting on that? I mean, is it as Alex described it? Is that really how it went down?
Somewhat.
A little sketchy.
Well,
now, Alex had to take over the press conference because Snicker was getting ready for the second game. That was a unique situation yesterday. But still, everybody's jaw kind of hit the floor when you found out Sale was complete.
I've got. Well, you ask about it and you say it's sketchy. This is what I believe. No one said this to me. But I believe, yes, they knew that he was probably ailing. He said he wanted to throw the bullpen. They were like, great, let's see how you feel. And then I think they got more clarification.
Okay.
But I think, to Grant's point, after the Cincinnati game, his last start, you knew that, hey, I'm feeling a little tightness. So that's where I think, Mike, that they may have known, but to, like, is he going to pitch? No. That's right. The part. Did they know 2 weeks ago? No, I don't think they knew 2 weeks ago.
Right. Look, guys, if you're going with Chris Sale and Ronaldo Lopez and Max Fried, then I'll take a punch of chance.
Let's go.
In any of these against the Padres. But, I mean, how many Braves fans out there literally was like, who? AJ Smith? Okay. I mean, I'd rather see Ian Anderson. I mean, at some point. It's just, look, I get it. We've already covered the weirdness of the compressed schedule at the end of the year. But isn't this just crazy? Isn't this the ultimate deja vu? How many times have we gone into a series and not having enough starting pitching? And Crow and I were just saying, if you beat the Padres, you get the Dodgers. Who? We had down 3-1 in 2020 in the NLCS. Who? We defeated in 2021. And the Dodgers have a penchant for
choking.
Yeah, from time to time. So, but these Padres have been on a heater, to your point.
All right, 404-726-0929. I have confidence. Do you? 3-game series, any weirdness happens in these series. I'm just telling you.
What are the odds you and I are firing up a victory cigar at about 11:30 tonight?
Well, it'd be great, because if you steal game one, it's completely unexpected. And I think,
but you're going to go to the bullpen unless you get an unbelievable effort from AJ tonight.
You will, but I also say this. Again, this is why I brought up, you know, Dylan Lee and those guys. I think as far as the closer, Iglesias, are we going to see him tonight? Maybe, maybe not. Because he got work in yesterday. Again, you don't want to tax him and potentially need him in game three, Mike. We've got a lead and we can finish this thing out and you can't pitch Iglesias. I'm not saying that's going to happen. You've got to monitor this and you got to manage it. And Snit has done a great job of that. I just feel like here's my concern, all right? And now this is the other side of it. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. They have, in my opinion, 3 closers in the back of the bullpen that finishes games better than anybody. And so when you talk about, I always ask this question, and we had it in 21, but when you talk about finishing a game, 6, 7, 7, 8, 9, what are we doing? They come in with Jason Adam, Mike. He's a shutdown dude in the 7th. And then Tanner Scott comes in, shuts you down, and then they got one of the best closers in Robert Suarez, who, by the way, he blew a couple of saves in September, but he had 3 blown saves the entire year up until that point. What I'm telling you is if they have a lead, this has been their formula. 7, 8, 9, these are their guys. And by the way, they don't necessarily always do that, depending on how the lineup is, but that is where they are really good at finishing games. And, Mike, that is why you have to take advantage of every opportunity you can against these guys.
Hey, one little sidebar to this, because we were so preoccupied with the Mets and just getting to the postseason. Do you remember that creep who threw at Ronald Acuna back in 2018?
How can I forget?
Yep, talking about Mike Shildt. He was the manager of the Cardinals.
That's not what I want to call him.
Yeah, he's a Shildt head, all right. But that's the guy that was thrown at Acuna when they're up 10-0. After, remember, Fulton Avich just got absolutely destroyed in that one?
He did.
But this is a guy who is literally...
Can we have some levity here? That was the game Mike and I are at Murph's. And all these folks show up, and they're like, yeah, let's get it. And we're all hyped up and everybody. And literally, like, an hour later, these guys are coming back to the bar to have drinks. And Mike and I are like, we're still on the air. We're like, what's going on? Why are you guys coming back?
We were
going
to get off the air, and we had general admission tickets to run over to Truist. And it's like, what's that scene? Remember, Chris, in Die Hard? With a guy who looks like Huey Lewis in the news. It was part of Hans Gruber's crew. And then Bruce Willis is going up top. And he goes, something's wrong. They're coming back down. And they're going to blow the roof. This is a real – I'm going deep dive on Die Hard. Oren knows of what I speak. We're like, what's going on? What's happening? And people were like zombies coming back on the pedestrian bridge to Cobb Galleria. And then this little sawed-off twit manager, Schilt, decides he doesn't like the way Acuna handles his business. So then he's going to throw at him up 10. And nothing happened. Now, I guess some Braves fans felt, well, you don't want to have a fight. You look like a sore loser getting your butt kicked in a game 5.
So what you telling me? We going to hit Tatis? What
no,
you telling me?
I just want to beat this creep because he's got something coming.
I agree.
He's got some unfinished business from us, and it goes back 6 friggin' years.
Hey, I don't forget. I'm with you on this.
This Schilt's a creep, man.
No, I don't like him either. I don't like him either. He's got a good team, but I don't like him. All right, Grant is going to join us next. It's a special day for Grant.
I want some payback.
And we'll explain.
Oh, and by the way, if we're getting destroyed 10-0 tonight, let's throw it to Tease.
Well, that's a different deal. Yeah, I agree.
Right.
All right. Special day for Grant. We'll explain why coming up on Sports Radio.
Well, Machado. Machado's a bigger than Tatis.
We got in. Now what? It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Braves get the Padres. And Grant McCauley, our Braves insider, covers MLB for us, joining us right now. First and foremost, the emotion of yesterday, then getting on a plane to go out west. I think it was Olson talking about, look, we're going to have enough energy and enthusiasm to go out here and play. It doesn't matter. They don't want to hear any of those excuses, Grant. Do you buy any of that, that the Braves will be tired and all the stuff that we've been hearing?
Well, as Matt Olson has famously said in regards to the injuries they've been through this year, no one cares. I mean, you just got to go out there and play, and you got to go out there and find a way to get it done. And the Braves, to their credit, found a way to get into the postseason yesterday. It was what we've called a roller coaster all season long. I heard Brian Snitker call it a roller coaster after the game yesterday. And even though they had to get on that plane and fly across country, they're happy to be in. They're glad to have this opportunity, and they want to keep playing baseball. And at this point, you know, that was the whole thing was get in and see if something good can happen, see what this club can do, and they're going to have themselves a test on their hands in a very good Padres club.
As we said, Grant, more pressure. By the way, happy birthday, Grant. By the way, Grant's birthday, he's 26.
Thanks,
26 today. But yeah, Grant, I mean, more pressure on certainly on the Padres just from expectation level. Real quick, you don't want to be confused because we heard what Alex Anthopoulos said yesterday. Did you feel that they knew things were more serious with Chris Sale, or just were just out of the loop on this? Because obviously that's a real shock to the system to not have him in this series.
I think that they were trying to manage this throughout the course of the week. And talking to Brian Snitker after the game, he said there were days throughout this week where it felt like Chris Sale himself felt like he was good to go. But with a back issue, sometimes you have better days than others. And if you've ever had one and had to deal with it, then you can understand. And I think that what happened was by the time they got to Sunday and Chris Sale really decided to, as Brian Snitker and Alex Anthopoulos both said, kind of step on a little bit with his throwing, he got to thinking, you know, if I am not able to go out there and give my best effort, am I helping or hurting the club here? Because it doesn't mean he's not going to pitch, needs to go on the IL, and his season's over. But to go out there and have a bad game at the most inopportune time, their season very much would be over. So I think that collectively the decision was simply made to see how he felt coming in on Monday. And if he didn't feel like he could go, well, there was a scenario at hand and it got very close to happening where you didn't have to worry about Chris Sale throwing in game 2. Would that have opened the door for the wild card? Obviously, it seems like the decision is made there as well. And that Chris Sale is still dealing with something that's going to keep him off the mound for at least a few more days. But I don't think that there was an overriding knowledge of he definitely can't go and what are we going to do? Because Brian Snitker said, if I'd known he couldn't go, I wouldn't have thrown Grant Holmes on Sunday.
It is Grant McCauley joining us as we get ready for the Braves to take on the Padres tonight. We know it's a 3-game series, Grant. I said we need a little magic. We need some guys to step up and maybe give us some knocks, you know, some base hits, score some runs that maybe we didn't expect. Who can that be in this lineup? I mean, listen, I expect the guys who have been hitting to do what they've done. But who would you look to and say, hey, I think this guy has a chance to maybe show us a little something in this series?
I think there's always moments that can be had by different guys at different times. Travis d'Arnaud is on probably the short list for me of, you know, just a hitter that if you're making a very short list of guys that you feel comfortable at the plate with the Braves with an opportunity to score or win a game, he's on that list for me. And that's not a long list this year, given that you don't have Austin Riley, you don't have Ronald Acuna Jr. There's nothing you can do about that. But there may be that moment for the Gio Urshelas, the, you know, whoever it may be, the Ramon Laureanos, and not just Matt Olson, Marcel Ozuna, Michael Harris, Ozzy Albies, Jorge Soler. I mean, that's a guy that knows a thing or two about a postseason moment. So they do have some guys in this lineup, and it may not have been the most potent over this final weekend, but they did figure out ways to, I think, show a lot of fight. I know they lost that game one to the New York Mets, and that was certainly unfortunate for a number of different reasons, but they were able to show a little bit of something that felt like October, and hopefully they can carry over some of the collective energy from that day into the series against San Diego.
Why is it A.J. Smith-Shawver tonight?
I think the biggest thing that A.J. Smith-Shawver gives you that the other options that you might have been mulling over from the minor leagues don't give you is plus stuff and the ability to get some swing and miss. And I think that's kind of why he got the edge here. He has easily the best stuff of anybody that was available to them of those minor league options. And obviously I'm talking about Bryce Elder, Ian Anderson, even Hurston Waldrop. I mean, when you look at somebody, that, and remember A.J. Smith-Shawver was on the postseason roster a year ago, so the Braves think a lot of this arm. He's had an interesting developmental year in that if you look at the numbers, you might not be kind of blown away by him taking a huge step forward and, you know, winning a bunch of minor league pitcher of the year awards, but he has been able to make some adjustments, some mechanical tweaks, I think, improve his off-speed stuff, and his fastball was also played up this year. And so all of that put together, I think, gives the Braves their best chance to go out there and give the Padres something that could be difficult to deal with. Now, I still think they're going to have to kind of reverse engineer this thing in so far as, you know, which relievers are going to be the first ones out. Who do we have to hold off to the side? You can ask Joe Jimenez. You can ask, you know, Raisel Iglesias. I'm sure they want the ball again today, but clearly having to throw twice in a doubleheader is something to think about. But, you know, it's time to put up or shut up, as the old saying goes. But as far as the decision to, you know, pick a starter, I think that that, as much as anything, scouting report, is why A.J. Smith-Shawver got the nod.
All right, what concerns you about this Padres team?
Well, they're a very good club. They know how to hit, and they've got a very good pitching staff as well. Their bullpen has got some pretty high-octane arms, and you know, they are a team that, as you look at the overall postseason field, they're as qualified as anybody to go on a run in October. I mean, they pushed the Dodgers into the last week, had a chance to maybe take the NL West away from them, weren't able to, but you know, when you're playing that kind of baseball at that time of year, you know that this club can be dangerous. They got healthy at the right time in the second half with Fernando Tatis. They're coming back, doing some big-time slugging. They've got Luis Arraez, who, you know, is somebody that can get on base for them quite a bit. It's just, it's a good, it's a well-rounded offense. And guys who've been there before, the Manny Machados and the like, they've got a good pitching staff, three good starters lined up to go in this with Michael King in game one, with Joe Musgrove in game two. And they've got Dylan Cease, who they went up and picked up in the offseason as their big acquisition. He's, you know, looming in game three. So you've got some serious pitching you got to deal with and a very serious offense. And I don't think I even mentioned Jurickson Profar, who put together a career year and has been kind of driving it, a driving force of their offense as well.
It is Army and Grant McCauley, guys, getting ready for game one tonight. And we talked about this earlier, Grant. I was off by a year. I said 2018. It was 2019, the year we lost to the Cardinals. And yes, it's that same skipper. It's that Schilt guy.
Uh-oh.
He's like a bad penny. He's back again.
Yeah, but I mean, I felt like, and you know, we could debate the Cardinals and what they've got going on and what's happened to them the last couple of years for a number of different reasons, but I felt like Mike Schilt was, he butted heads a bit with the upper office, the upper echelon of the Cardinals brass, and they decided they wanted someone a little bit more malleable. So they went out and got Ollie Marmol, and they've got him in there, and he'll do, I guess, a little bit more of what he's told to do. Schilt's an old-school guy. He's a throwback, and there's something to be said for that. I mean, the Braves have a manager who's a bit of a throwback as well. They're not against getting new information, and clearly the organization's going to have a say in decisions, which, by the way, who you start in game one of this series, that's an organizational decision. Everybody's at the table, and you try to make the best call. But long story short, I do think that Mike Schilt's done some really great things out in San Diego, and you know, it's not easy to, I think, have success in multiple cities and to do it as quickly as he has is a testament to the leadership and also the quality of the team that he's got as well.
I don't care for him.
Grant, what is it that we have to do to win this series? It's short. It's quick. I mean, this thing's going to go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. What is it? We got to get. We got to steal game one. That's number one, right? We got to get tonight. Yep. We got to get tonight.
Steal game one is a great strategy for it. I'm going to hit you with two things that are pretty obvious.
Okay.
Outpitch them, and you got to score more runs than the other guys. And that last part has been the tough thing for the Braves when it's come to matching up with offenses. But they've taken two out of three from San Diego already this season. They did it right before the All-Star break. So to say that there's a precedent for it, there absolutely is. Now, game one is not an ideal scenario for Atlanta, quite obviously, with no Chris Sale. But you have Max Fried and Ronaldo Lopez ready to go in games two and game three. So you take game one, you put the Padres on their back foot. And now you got to figure out, you know, a way to just steal one more game and get out of there. So you got to like the Braves pitching staff overall, I feel like. Head-to-head, they're as good or better than anybody in baseball this year. The numbers bear it out. No Chris Sale changes the dynamic. There's no question about it. But there's still enough pitching on this squad to do its job if the Braves offense can get to a couple of these Padres pitchers, whether that's the starting rotation or the bullpen. However you can get them, the Braves need to score some runs.
I know we've talked about it all season long, just the unprecedented amount of injuries the Braves have had to deal with as a franchise. What was the vibe in that clubhouse? I mean, it just seemed like, you know, yes, there's still some work to be done and the odds are long, but it just seemed like, man, they deserve that champagne.
Yeah, there's some satisfaction there, and there should be, and the job's not done. They're not finished. They're not just, you know, happy to be here, and, you know, if we go home in 3 days, that'll be fine, too. No, they want to keep playing baseball. I talked to Austin Riley yesterday in the clubhouse, and obviously he's not going to be able to help this club, but he was proud of what this team accomplished all season long. Travis d'Arnaud, much the same. I mean, I kind of put it out there. There are a lot of speed bumps for you guys throughout the course of the season. He's like, no. Those were huge speed bumps. And, you know, it took everyone in here, all 26 men on any given day, to do what we've done here, and the leadership from Brian Snitker and the coaching staff. You know, this may seem like a year in which the Braves may have shown some holes, or there may have been some, you know, undesirable outcomes, and you want to figure out why and fix it. And sometimes that's easier said than done. But this is a club that very much went to battle together every single day to get this opportunity. And you can say they backed into the postseason if you want to. That's fine. I think they overcame a lot to get here. And at this point, much like we just saw the Tigers go into Houston and take game one from the Astros, you're playing with house money. Like, go out there and spend it. Go out there and leave everything out there, and you'll feel like you've done everything that you can. And I think there's a lot to be said for that. And we'll see if the Braves and their pitching staff, which is a rough ride for anybody if you deal with them, especially if they can get Sale back in the mix at some point. This could be very interesting in October, but it's all, I think, going to come down to the right mix, the recipe between having that great pitching, sure, but can you score enough to support it, and can you do the little things you need to do when the game is on the line and you've got to get runs out of situations? The Braves have got to prove they can do that.
We'll see what happens tonight. Go Braves. Grant, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Hey, by the way, I was going to say, Carlos, sorry to cut you off. In Milwaukee, the Brewers jumping all over Luis Severino, 2-0, bottom of the first.
I was seeing that, man. Yeah. Listen, Brewers are a good club, man. I mean, the Detroit's a good club. Everything's coming together for them. You talk about timing. He's talking about the Astros. It could be us, and it should be. We'll see. 5 o'clock hour brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, where it's Wing Tuesday. Buy one, get 1.5 off traditional wings. We're coming back. We go behind enemy lines with Rick Stroud next.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas. This is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.